Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
This is going to be a difficult one. Yeah, if you are not prepared for some real heavy talk tonight, yeah, this might not be the episode for you. We're just going to go have a conversation where it leads. We will definitely talk about the tragic death of Jay Briscoe, one half of the Briscoe brothers, died yesterday in a car accident. Plus, do not forget his two daughters are in critical condition. They are currently in a hospital. And, we will talk about what happened yesterday. I will tell you something else. You know, for those that know me a long time and know me a little bit personal, you know, not only doing the wrestling stuff, and even, you know, just, you know, having a little fun, a little taste on the indie circuit, doing the managing, but I've been involved in insurance since 1998. Broker, claims, you know, inspector, you know, just across the gamut of the world of pro wrestling. And it was a few things that came out yesterday with the accident that caught my eye right away. And, you know, being in the insurance business, I have access to, you know, some documentation reports that not everybody has. And that's not a bragging thing. It's more of, you know, just basically trying to do your job and doing it right. And, I'm going to share with you some details tonight that you may not be aware of as far as what happened yesterday. I'm going to show you actual photos of where this crash occurred, and I made a disclaimer on the synopsis. They are not photos of the crash. All right, these are stock photos. No personal information is being released. It's not my place to do it. I wouldn't even think about doing it. No personal information, no photos or documents, but I will show you basically what the two vehicles look like. Not the actual vehicles involved in the accident, but what their vehicles look like. I'm going to show you the intersection of where this happened. And I don't have a lot of this written down. This is going to be more Anthony DeBlasi talking tonight, person, insurance representative, and a few other things. But there's two aspects of this accident that I have yet to see one person bring up. And it's two aspects that I'm telling you, it will not shock me if this plays into this accident. It's almost a guarantee. And know those two items are not seatbelt and alcohol, because those are the go-to comments that everybody seems to be making. Jay Briscoe was not wearing a seatbelt. Unfortunately, Lillian Tenahan, she was wearing a seatbelt. She still died in the accident. So I know, you know, there's a PSA somewhere here. You should all wear your seatbelts. Listen, when you understand what happened in this accident, when you realize that the speed limit of that road where the accident occurred is 50 miles an hour, when you realize that the vehicle that she was driving is a 2019 Chevy Silverado 1500, a tank, and then you realize that Jay Briscoe is driving a 2016 Chevy Silverado 2500. Imagine those two vehicles driving anywhere close to 50 miles an hour, give or take. Now, it's bad enough if maybe somebody crosses an intersection and you hit the car, the truck on the side, you fishbone it, whatever. Imagine these two vehicles head on. Imagine those two vehicles head on. That's what happened yesterday. Those two vehicles collided head on. It's just awful, beyond awful. And, you know, last night this broke right before NXT started. I wasn't involved in a watch party. I was talking to some friends of mine in the indie wrestling scene, some people I haven't talked to in about 10, 15 years. And we were kind of reminiscing about old school Briscoes. And I shared a story yesterday on Patreon that a lot of people who tuned in are like, DT, you got to share it Wednesday for everyone. You know, my first experience of seeing the Briscoes. And there's a weird, you know, vibe going on, you know, the last 24 hours as well. I mean, I know everybody is mourning. But I also see people out there using this to, like, go after every schmuck that, you know, has to say something rude about the situation. You just ignore these people. They're awful. There's nothing you could say or do that's going to change them. This is their lives. This is their mentality. And I see people doing that almost to, like, not only address those people, but almost to, like, showcase to everyone, look, everybody, look at what I said. It's beautiful. It's powerful. Acknowledge me. Notice me. Oh, then you got the news sites, even clickbaiting. I really thought back and forth throughout the night tonight if I'm even going to show you an example tonight. And, you know, originally I was going to be like, no, don't even bother. But it just, maybe it's just me. You know, maybe I'm the only moron out there that really got rubbed the wrong way with this. And we talk about this website a lot. And I want to reiterate, not every person on that website is a bad person. Not everybody is rotten. But when I saw this post from Shitskeeta, the title of the article is, which member of Roman Reigns' bloodline paid homage to Jay Briscoe after his death on Twitter? You fucking pussy lowlife piece of shit. You know, like, first of all, everybody mourns in different ways. And this person's writing this shit, not even giving people a chance to maybe let it sink in. You know, let it, you know, just people, oh. You know, my message to each and every one of you out there who truly get offended by morons like this, my friends, look at this. I removed his name because that motherfucker gets no acknowledgement from me. But somebody who is not a wrestling fan went on Twitter and talked about a white homophobic wrestler who died in a car crash. You know, and forget about the fact that the person who wrote is a white person also. Look at the number of views. 900,000 views. That's before he took his profile private. My friends, none of you out there need to convince this piece of shit that Jay Briscoe was a good person. The wrestling world knows Jay Briscoe was a good person. The wrestling world knows that Jay Briscoe was a very religious person. The wrestling world knows that Jay Briscoe was a family man, loved his kids, wanted to protect his kids, had views about sexuality and life and everything like that. And whether you agree with him or disagree with him 10 years ago, whether he said something stupid that we all have done in our lifetime, you don't need to prove to these low-life pieces of shit that will take a tragedy and throw something like that because they know they want to hurt you. They want to hurt you when you're hurting. There's an old saying, hurt people, hurt people. Ignore those people. You and I know Jay Briscoe is a good person. These assholes at Warner Media that absolutely, positively would not allow the Briscoes to appear on a Dynamite. And listen, let's defend Tony Khan for a minute. I saw a lot of people tonight ripping Tony Khan, not even a 10-bell salute. You know, what? First of all, Jay Briscoe, even though he's Ring of Honor, was never a part of AEW. So a 10-bell salute, yeah, probably. the appropriate way to go. But what do you expect Tony Khan to do? You expect him to, you know, do something that, of course, externally, we're not going to find out that executives were pissed off that Tony Khan did a 10-bell salute. But what do you expect him to do? You know, do the right thing and, you know, give the, this is a billion-dollar, trillion-dollar corporate world. We're not talking Vince McMahon tonight. We're not talking Nick Khan tonight. We're not talking about WWE stuff tonight. But I will say one thing. Nick Khan just did an interview. Nick Khan talking about Vince McMahon back. Nick Khan talking about some of Vince McMahon's discretions. Nick Khan talking about full steam ahead. This is Vince's coming. This is that. And everybody that despises Vince McMahon is going after Nick Khan. Like, look at this worthless piece of shit defending Vince McMahon. Welcome to the corporate billionaires and trillionaires in this world. We can't relate to these people. Their mentality is different. You know, Rita Marie filing that lawsuit, which is going to happen, that's more like a bump in the road. Welcome to their world. We don't fit in that world, you know. And I can't find fault in Tony Khan for not doing a 10-bell or anything like that. And I want to clear something up as well. I do blame Tony Khan for not wording this properly, but there was an issue online tonight that I want to share with all of you. Let's get it out there before people clickbait it. Tonight, you know, look, we never clickbait here, but I'm definitely going to go into a few things tonight that obviously, absolutely no one else is going to do. But there was a little bit of controversy earlier tonight because we found out that right now they're doing a little bit of a tribute show for Jay Briscoe, probably an hour long. Some former Ring of Honor stars are there tonight. They're going to be wrestling. And Tony Khan announced that this is going to be recorded and it's going to be airing in the future. He definitely used a poor choice of words, but I don't believe he was trying to pull a Honor Club grab. Let me show you the first tweet. Now, pay attention to the timestamp. Pay attention to the timestamp. It was 8:15 p.m. tonight when Tony Khan went on Twitter and wrote, "After the live show, we'll film a special Ring of Honor tribute to the late, great Jay Briscoe, which will be available soon, free to everyone on Honor Club." Now, if you think about that last few words, it is beyond confusing. Honor Club is not free. Honor Club is a subscription, $9.99 a month. So available soon, free to everyone on Honor Club. So he's specifically saying Honor Club. Now, what I believe he meant in this original tweet is this is not something that you have to order and pay on Fight, like a premium live event, a pay-per-view, that if you have Honor Club, you get this for free. And look, listen, he's definitely, you know, I give him a break with this because he's obviously very hurt as well. He was a very, you know, hardcore fan of the Briscoes in a very tough position. But when you write on Honor Club, you're singling out a group of people. If it was going to be free for everyone, period, you would have just put free for everyone. That's it. You don't specify Honor Club. If it was going to be on YouTube as well, you would write YouTube. I don't think that's 320 characters, everyone. So he wrote that at 8:15. Fans started ripping the shit out of him because of that. And because this is, you know, focusing only on Honor Club. So now you look at this timestamp. Let me pull this one up. This is at 8:50, 35 minutes later. Free for everyone means free. It will be free, not behind a paywall on Honor Club, and we'll post the tribute show in its entirety on Ring of Honor YouTube as well. Also free for everyone. As tonight, this crew will come together to shoot a special Ring of Honor event to honor the late, great Jay Briscoe. So in my honest opinion, I don't think Tony Khan originally was going to put this on YouTube. He was going to put this on Honor Club that is part of your subscription. but he started getting hammered by wrestling fans. Why do I have to have a subscription to see this tribute show? So now I give Tony Khan credit because he is now going to offer this free on YouTube for everyone as well. I'm sure the YouTube will have ads put in there, but for Honor Club, you know, it's only fair that they get it commercial free. So look, he doesn't word things very well. On Saturday, we'll talk about his remark about interest in buying WWE. Oh, you have to look at the woman's reaction that interviewed him. You got to just focus on her face as he's saying what he's saying. It reminded me so much of Dixie Carter, Cash Flow Positive, which we just had a fun conversation about, which was actually pretty weird in a sense, because when Nick Khan was talking about Tony Khan today, you know, it sounded like he was talking Cash Flow Positive as well. It just blew me away when I heard it. We'll talk about that on Saturday. But today, listen, today we're focusing on some basic things. I'm going to give you quick results later for AEW, which was a fun show tonight. Definitely flowed very, very well. Interesting of what they're doing with Saraya and Toni Storm. I think Toni Storm by default, because Saraya cannot be by herself right now. She is still trying to find herself, you know, as far as a pro wrestler in ring active again. So she needs someone by her side. We'll talk about that a little bit later, because I personally think I know why they are teasing a full-blown heel turn for Saraya. And I think it's almost common sense. Some of you probably think it when I was thinking earlier. You know, a little upset win tonight for Top Flight, beating the Young Bucks. But, you know, as we commented, you know, they're trios champs now. You know, they can have a tag team match and lose. And I think Top Flight getting the win tonight is to set up a future match against the Acclaimed. I think that's where they're going. I think because Top Flight has lost so many matches that they have to pull some wins together. And they need to defeat some substantial people. Props to AEW for the Young Bucks losing to Top Flight, because Young Bucks lose no cred. Young Bucks can have a loss once in a while. You know, it doesn't hurt anybody's career when you think about it. So, you know, that was good to see tonight. And, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's spend a few minutes about what happened yesterday. Now, if you Google the Delaware State Police, they have a website and they do report traffic incidents. They report certain crimes, fatalities. And everybody in the wrestling news world today that is claiming exclusive, so-and-so reported, this person reported, they got it from the Delaware State of Police website. I'm going to read you some of what they posted, but I'm going to add some things to it that wasn't posted. And then I'm going to share with you two elements that I could bet my bottom dollar was a factor in this accident that I have yet to see one person talk about. And when I tell you what I found, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's almost like gives you a little chill, because you almost envision like that has to be, it almost has to be, you know, hopefully we don't find out alcohol. Hopefully we don't find out, you know, that texting and not paying attention. I think it's much, much deeper than that. Again, I am not releasing any information that is available on crash reports or anything like that. You know, the last time I gave any specifics is when Jeff Hardy, remember when he hit that median and we got the crash report? We did an episode of Breakfast Soup and we talked about that. And I got a little bit of heat for revealing some very specific things, but it was to clear up a lot of fake news out there, you know, as far as what happened and where things were damaged. But, you know, for those that just want a quick brief synopsis. Yesterday in Laurel, Delaware, Jay Briscoe was in a vehicle with his kids. And at 5.09 p.m., remember the time, 5.09 p.m. At 5.09 p.m., he was driving on Laurel Road, which, and by the way, Laurel Road is actually Route 24 in Delaware. Route 24 goes a very, very long way. But when I say Laurel Road and Route 24 is the same thing. There is an intersection called Goose Nest Road. Okay, this is the actual intersection. On your left is Goose Neck Road. If you want to see a flip side of what it looks like, there you go. All right, you look at, on the right, that is Goose Neck Road where the stop sign is, and you have Laurel Road, which is Route 24. That is right past the intersection. I want to go back to this one first. I want you to pay attention to the road itself, okay? This road that you see right now is before the accident. This is the opposite way, okay? Jay Briscoe was going in one direction, and this 27-year-old lady by the name of Lillian Tenahan was driving in the opposite direction, okay? The accident did not occur at this moment. Let me just do something here. Okay, so now I want to show you a little bit further. That same road, if I pull back a little bit, you could see on the right, the speed limit is 50 miles an hour. There are no stop signs or traffic signals anywhere remotely near where this intersection is. It is one lane on each side, and then you obviously have, you know, where you could pull over, God forbid, you know, you break down or something. But for the most part, it is one lane on each side. Now, I want to go back and show you the opposite direction because this is where it leads to the accident. Okay, you really cannot see it that detailed, but there is a bend. If you look at that stock photo of those two SUVs driving, the one closer to us, you could see that that vehicle is about to approach, like the lane turns a little bit. That right after that is where the accident took place. Now, I really don't want to start zooming in and running the risk of screwing up the photos, but I'm going to show you another photo now. Okay, that is, again, Gooseneck Road, but pay attention to this photo. Okay, right in front of us is where the accident took place. If you look all the way in the back, you see a vehicle, a dark-colored vehicle driving towards, you know, like coming our way. That is where the other driver was approaching this bend. And once again, if you look at this photo, you could see where it curves a little bit. All right, you could see where it curves. She lost control of her vehicle and ended up on the wrong side of the road and hit Jay Briscoe's vehicle head on. She was going around a bend. Boom, right into Jay Briscoe's vehicle. Now, obviously, she didn't see the bend, and instead of turning this way, she basically just went right into his vehicle, head on. I showed you the vehicles earlier, 50 miles an hour. You don't survive. I mean, and if you do, very, very serious injuries. Thank God his kids were buckled in. I know everybody is saying, wow, you know, I wish he would have wore a seatbelt. Look, as I said earlier, the lady in the other vehicle died and she had her seatbelt on. You know, think about Jay Briscoe, that he was made sure that when he had his kids in the car, that they were always buckled in. And that saved their lives. Now, his two daughters, one I think is, what, 9 years old? One is 12 years old. He's got three kids, by the way. One of his kids was home, his son, which was not involved in the accident. But his two daughters were rushed to the hospital, and they are in critical condition. All right, there's a big difference between serious condition and critical condition. Everybody that's writing serious condition copied it from Meltzer's site because Meltzer used the word serious condition. The Delaware State Police specifically said that they were in critical condition. So you got to say an extra prayer tonight because, you know, you got two little kids. You know, one of them, I don't even want to say what is rumored, you know, to be her injuries. And it's just devastating to hear. So both his kids are alive. They're in a hospital in critical condition with some very, very serious injuries. Jermaine Pugh, which is Jay Briscoe's real name, he died at the scene almost instantly. Again, you get hit head on with a vehicle going in the opposite direction. I mean, you just don't survive that. Unfortunately, that's what happened. Now, something else I want to share with you. And this is where people are not talking. I don't blame them because I'm a defensive driver instructor, believe it or not. No bullshit. I don't have my license with me, but I could show you. I actually teach safety classes. I haven't done much lately because I don't want to do a class for like one or two people at a time. You don't get many people at the same time that want a defensive driver class. But here's the thing. Yesterday, when we were on Patreon and we heard that the Mount Laurel School District was closing their schools for today because of what happened. On Patreon yesterday, my immediate reaction was, holy shit, I hope his daughter was not in that vehicle. Why would you close a school? Why would you close a school? I mean, if his daughters weren't in the vehicle, or at least one, you know, they lost their father, obviously, but why would you close an entire school? So we were fearing yesterday that his daughter was in the vehicle, and sure enough, both his daughters were. But there was something else. And I didn't get into it yesterday because me, I don't want to be first, I want to be right. That's always been, you know, how I do things. I wanted to check the weather conditions, and I also wanted to check something else. Two things. First of all, there was some rain earlier in the day, but the rain that happened was just a light drizzle. It stopped around 11 o'clock in the morning. The roads were not wet. So this was not a case of slick roads, icy roads. This was someone that went around a bend and went straight into Jay Briscoe's vehicle on the wrong side of the road. Now you say to yourself, how could that happen? You look at this road again. I mean, there was no witnesses of animals crossing the road. There's no signs of, you know, anybody, you know, driving reckless, you know, other than appears this woman. Like, how do you, you know, how does that happen? Well, two things. You ever hear the definition of twilight? You know what twilight is? Now, I went on Google and went on some scientific websites to give you a specific definition because I want you to understand about twilight, okay? Twilight, for those that don't know, all right, twilight is the time between daylight and darkness. It is the most dangerous time to drive. Because during the daytime, your eyes are set a certain way to identify items on the road. When daylight starts going down and you have sunset, the time between sunset and total darkness is where your eyes are not completely adjusted. And if you Google any safety website in the world, you will find millions of pages that will tell you driving during twilight is the most dangerous time of the day or the evening. Because remember, the mornings as well. The mornings, when it's starting to become daylight, you're used to darkness. And believe it or not, daylight, as it's approaching, can screw you up as well. So now, as far as vision changes, let me read you two more things that are very important. The danger begins as soon as the sun starts to go up or go down. Your eyes have to make adjustments to the changes in lighting. As your eyes adjust, your peripheral vision and depth perception becomes affected. That makes it much more difficult to safely avoid obstacles and other vehicles in the road. If you find yourself in that situation, you keep your eyes on the road, give your vision an appropriate amount of time to adjust to the lighting. And they even have special glasses for people who need that little bit extra assistance when you're driving during twilight. And they go a little bit further. The winter season is the lowest elevation of the sun during the day. In the wintertime, we are in the wintertime right now. That makes it even harder to see, as well as the angle of the sun in your windshield will be more direct through the late afternoon or early morning for a longer period of time. And then, without getting too much, but I don't want anybody's brains exploding, you know, but if you go a little bit further and you understand southeast and northeast, it's the bottom line is driving at twilight is the most dangerous time of the day to be driving. And in the wintertime, because of where the sun is situated, it's even more dangerous. So the accident happened yesterday at 5:09 p.m. Would you like to know what time sunset is in Laurel, Delaware? Google it. 5:09 p.m. What I think happened. Oh, here's another thing. Jay Briscoe's vehicle has daytime running lights. And because it's now hitting twilight, some people's headlights go on automatically. That's nothing wrong. Jay Briscoe, as far as we know, didn't do anything wrong. If you want to say seatbelt, go right ahead. But the point is that you take the combination of twilight, wintertime, headlights, going around a bend. She probably didn't even see his vehicle. She probably didn't even notice the turn. She probably just thought she was going straight as an arrow. And when the vehicles were turning, she just went straight, went right into his vehicle. You know, yes, obviously, if there's alcohol, if somebody's on a cell phone, that makes it even worse. But twilight is exactly 5:09. Well, sunset, 5:09 p.m. This happened at twilight. So I personally think the combination of everything that I just said, because look, as of right now, the police have no idea why this accident happened. Obviously, they can't say anything about alcohol because they got to run toxicology. And, you know, just think back to the Tammy Sitch accident. You know, I mean, yeah, Florida's handled a little bit differently, but, and she's alive. And look how long it took to get those results back. Now, that's a little bit more complicated because they want to make sure they have all their facts correct so something doesn't come back as a mistrial. But the thing is, you know, the woman had just died. So they have to bring her, obviously, down to, you know, the morgue. They're going to have to examine, run blood tests, you know, to see if she was under the influence of anything. But she was 27 years old. You know, yeah, 2 seconds, I could run a motor vehicle report and see if she's got any history of driving reckless, but that's not my place to do. So I hope what I showed you now and explained gives you a little bit of a better idea as far as what happened yesterday. You know, it is tragic. And the worst thing about it is, you know, like I said, forget seatbelts for a second. Of course, we're always supposed to wear seatbelts. You know, but my point is, you're driving 50 miles an hour and a vehicle of that size is coming the opposite way, 50, 60 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, and a head-on collision. I mean, what do you do? How do you survive that? You almost never survive it. It is just an absolute tragedy from top to bottom. And here's where, okay, so a few people are tuned in live. The speed limit was 50 miles an hour there. That is right before where the accident occurred. That is about 100, 200 feet before the accident, 50 miles an hour. We don't know what their speeds. Listen, if the police release more of the crash report, you'll get those questions answered. But still, I don't think there's anything else Jay Briscoe could have done. And I personally think even if he was wearing a seatbelt, I don't know. I'm shocked that his kid survived. Thank God they did. And let's pray that, you know, they recover, not only physically, but emotionally. You know, that is just awful. It is awful. Props to the whole wrestling world just expressing, you know, their thoughts and prayers. Not everybody was a Briscoe fan. Not everybody followed Ring of Honor. Not everybody, you know, was, you know, into their work. But as a human being, and, you know, of all the photos that I have seen in the last 24 hours, this one got to me more than anything. Now, they posted it publicly. That's why I'm sharing it with you. So I don't want anybody to think like I took a Facebook family photo that, you know, they didn't. This was on their Twitter. This was Easter of last year. That is, and by the way, today is Mark Briscoe's birthday. I don't think people have even realized next week is Jay Briscoe's birthday. Jay Briscoe's birthday is in about a week. Jay Briscoe would have been 39 years old. So, you know, today is Mark Briscoe's birthday. Next week is Jay Briscoe's birthday. Look at the family. That's what his life was about. And look, did I know the Briscoes personally? No, I didn't know them at all. I'm going to share a story, you know, my first experience of the Briscoes in a couple of moments. But when I see something like that, it just keeps reminding me of what I have said on these shows. I just said it on Sunday. And I'm sorry for creeping some people out. I'm really, really sorry. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, on Sunday, I talked about a weird dream that I got Saturday night. If you check out Sunday's sit-down episode, you'll hear it. I had a crazy dream Saturday night that Jay White died. And I don't know why I was dreaming it. I think my Roku started playing Cornette while I was sleeping. And somehow when things are playing on my TV while I'm sleeping, they creep into my dreams. But I was hanging out with a bunch of friends, a lot of my former friends in the indie wrestling world, and somebody said, hey, did you hear Jay died? And I said, what? I'm like, yeah, Jay White. And I was like, how? And I woke up. And people were like, whoa. I mean, obviously not the same person, but having this weird dream Saturday night that Jay died. But it was Jay White. But I apologize for creeping anybody out, man. Check out Sunday's episode. You remember, for people out there that think like I'm possessed, let me just tell you something else that I know a boatload of you know. Daphne was a very good friend of mine. I knew her for over 20 years. Very, very good friend of mine. And the night that she was online threatening to take her life, I tried to intervene. Everybody tried to intervene. There was nothing that anybody could do. I had to do a podcast that night. And during the podcast, we were talking about her. And in the background, something came tumbling down from my ceiling. And I was creeped out. I was like, the fuck was it? It was all on camera. When we got the report of when they believed that she took her life, the exact time on that death certificate is the exact time the thing came tumbling down on my show. People in the chat room right now will vouch for it. It's just, I can't explain shit like that, man. I don't even want to know. So, Jay Bray, oh, by the way, we really go hard on those fake news sites. The Mercedes Moné AEW stuff, WWE being sold to the Saudis, which was bullshit. I know we went really hard on all those people that lied. Yesterday, there was some news sites reporting that Jay Briscoe's wife died in the accident as well. I know where that originated. It was honestly someone misreading something that was on a social media page. It was not done intentional. Unfortunately, a lot of news sites just cut and pasted it. They all deleted it within an hour. But I know some of you out there, because some of you emailed me late last night while I was on Patreon, like, whoa, his wife? No, his wife is alive. She posted this. Let me put it over here. She posted this on social media earlier. She says, we need prayers. Gracie is on her way into surgery on her back. Jasmine would want the whole, Jameen. You know what? I know it's not going to look perfectly centered on the screen, but, you know, there's a reason why I wear glasses. I'm going to put it on screen like that. We need prayers. Gracie is on her way into surgery on her back. Jameen would have wanted the whole world praying for his little girl. We believe in the power of prayer. Pray for the doctors and everyone working on her. Pray for her precious legs to move again. Pray for Jalay, who has some pretty serious injuries, but is stable and resting. Pray for Gannon, that's his son, who is waiting at home. Pray for strength for all of us. We have a long road ahead for us. I don't know them personally, but everybody who I talked to yesterday and even parts of today said the same thing. Very religious guy, very, very deep family man. Everything was about his family. And, you know, it's pretty rotten that, you know, so many people held against him some, you know, stupid remarks made 10 years ago. You know, obviously I'm not the demo that he offended. I'm not the group that he offended. And I think people had every right to be offended. I'm not denying that. I think time shows redemption. And here's where I get into a little serious talk. And then we're going to talk about Amari Miller for a few moments. Something I wanted to share. And then I didn't want to make this public, but I gotta. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a few moments. I had mentioned this on Sunday as well. Sunday is turning into a very weird episode because we had a discussion Sunday about redemption. And I had mentioned Sunday that Mick Foley, who doesn't tweet anymore, but his podcast has a Twitter, he just recently saw Terry Funk. Now, I've been doing this for 26 years. And I've said for 26 years, Terry Funk is my favorite wrestler of all time. I love that man. I have so much memorabilia of his. I have met him countless times over the years. I had the privilege of being part of his our video shoot interview. If you go on my Twitter, at DonTonyD, look at my top profile picture. That is me with him and Cactus Jack while we were the WWF tag champs for a very short period of time. I drove all the way to Philly to not only meet them and hang out with them, but eat lunch with them afterwards. On the way home, I got into a road rage incident and almost got arrested. And my ex got into a full-blown fist fight with the wife of the other vehicle, of the driver. So believe me, it's weird how things come full circle, but Terry Funk is my favorite. You'll see me from, 1998? Whatever year it was? You know, you'll see me with them. That is from that day. So you can only imagine how much it broke my heart to see this. Now, I know some people found it weird when I said this, but it looks like he's in a nursing home. Don't ask me why I believe that's a nursing home, but just a little bit of the background makes me feel like that's a visitation room. My favorite wrestler of all time is mortal. My dad is mortal. You're mortal. I'm mortal. Everybody that we have admired in sports, movies, politics, you know, activists, we're all mortal. We all get old. And I was talking Sunday about redemption. And Mick Foley was talking about Jim Cornette, about NWA. And he said he believes that, you know, we've all said some pretty dumb things in our lifetime, but redemption, you know, we're supposed to redeem people. And I think you redeem people over time. You know, I think, you know, someone's track record a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years after some dumb things, I think that tells the story. And in a world of so much hate and toxicity, you know, to see how good of a guy Jay Briscoe was perceived, not only amongst us wrestling fans, but amongst his peers. You know, and then you see over 10 years, the guy, you know, he has views, very religious. You know, some people with Catholicism, you know, they don't believe in, you know, certain sexuality or, you know, whatever. We're not going there today. But my point is that, you know, sometimes someone says something, you know, maybe intentions are not meant to hurt anybody, but it does. And I think over time you learn that, okay, the person, you know, is not what he or she appears to be. And it really bothers me that that redemption wasn't perceived more and more and more. And I think just the fact that the Briscoes were never allowed to be featured on AEW, because if there was ever a time to sell the return of Ring of Honor since April of last year, the Honor Club, pay-per-views, you know, pushing Ring of Honor all this time, you throw those motherfuckers on AEW Dynamite and you sold events from it. Their work with FTR, how do you not build that? How do you not even air, you know, like a 10-minute version of that match or a 5-minute version? And when you start to really, you know, take a step back and you say to yourself, they can't even appear on that TV. I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling how deep that redemption was never there. But that's why I say again what I said earlier. You, me, the wrestling world, the wrestlers who knew him, you know, the people that he worked for, his family, his neighbors, none of them need to prove to outside people how good of a person he is or was, however you want to put it. You're not going to change their views. You're not going to change their mind. You're not going to change their ways. You know he's a good person. You don't need to tell those people. They're not going to turn around and say, my bad, my bad. You know, and think of it like this also. When I showed you that comment earlier about that moron, he knows nothing about Jay Briscoe. He just knew that he made some remarks that were interpreted as homophobic 10 years ago, whatever it was. He doesn't know about what he has done the last 10 years. He knows nothing. Why waste your time on somebody like that? You know he was a good person. I know he was a good person. He was a beloved family man, great friend, great wrestler, great entertainer. And that's, you celebrate that. So much love to the Pugh family. And I pray that both his daughters can physically pull through this, emotionally. Look, I'm in my early 50s now, and I'm not prepared what life is going to be without my dad or my mom. And every day, you know, I think to myself, my God, is this the last Christmas? Is this the last birthday? Is this the last? Just try to enjoy yourself a little bit more. You know, I guarantee you, at Easter time of last year, I guarantee you nobody in that family ever thought that that family would be broken up, especially, you know, on a road, you know, right by their home, you know, by someone, you know, we don't know what happened, you know, but could be taken away just like this. We just had this convo Sunday. And this is why even more I want to talk about something else. All right. I know not everybody watches NXT, but you know what? Before we talk about Amari Mill, I want to share a story with you. You'll get a kick out of it. I actually pulled some audio. So for everybody who loved my old Hotline days, my earliest memory of the Briscoes, and I tell you, it's weird. It's weird because I was actually online earlier on a Facebook Messenger talking to a whole bunch of people. And I got a vibe from a few people that because I enjoyed the Briscoes before they made it famous in Ring of Honor, like that doesn't count. And I was like scratching my head. 2002, Jay Briscoe is 17 years old. Mark Briscoe is 18 years old. They were wrestling 17 and 18 years old. So, you know, just let that sink in a little bit. In 2002, I'm doing my wrestling hotline, And through the hotline, I get offered to do some work for XPW. Bus trips. Because I had a huge following with my wrestling hotline. And they offered me to do the bus trips. And that was it. I was just doing bus trips. So, you know, I start promoting it on the shows. I get sued from WWE, you know, threatening me because, you know, I'm using Extreme and, you know, the ECW versus XPW. They're threatening me and this and that. And, well, I wasn't sued, but they just told me, like, you know, cease and desist. And I still got the two sets of legal papers somewhere. But anyway, 2002, I'm plugging the bus trips for XPW. They're coming to Philly. Hostile takeover. And I know the storyline on TV was that Shane Douglas was taking over XPW with Lizzie Borden, but it was really hostile takeover of Philly, former ECW stomping grounds. So anyway, they have their first show and they don't have guardrails. So here's my first interaction with Frank Goodman, the Mass Maniac, USA Pro Wrestling, and this leads to the Briscoes. So after their first show, I now was offered to do a little bit of work, like a gopher for XPW, behind-the-scenes stuff, nothing important. But because they were California and I'm Northeast, you know, even just getting the word out. I mean, at a lot of those ECW arena shows for XPW, over half the people that you see in attendance are from my bus trips. I was selling 3-4 bus trips at a time, 4 buses pulling in. And we'll talk about that another day. But anyway, their second event, they need guardrails. So I went to Frank Goodman's USA Pro Wrestling shows already. I became friendly with some of the indie guys because they enjoyed the hotline that I used to do. For a while I did, you might remember, we talked about it last week, the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. It was myself, which was Funker, because, you know, Terry Funk's always been my favorite. Timmy Arson, who is now deceased, you knew him as the ECW Zombie, Matt Zombie, and Brian Damage. We did the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. And it was doing great. So through the hotline, you know, that's how I got the XPW stuff. And now they need guardrails. So they said to me, hey, you know, can you look into guardrails? So I went to Frank Goodman shows already, but I never met him. I never hung out with him, didn't know him, nothing at all. So I went to their next show to meet with Frank about using the guardrails. So he works out a deal, and he lets us rent his guardrails. In fact, I think Ken Scampi, anybody remember Ken Scampi? He actually drove the guardrails all the way to Philly. And I think he didn't even want to get paid for it. I think all he wanted was the spa with Shane Douglas in the ring a little bit. If anybody still talks to Ken Scampi, find out if that's true, because I was always told that he was promised that he was going to be able to spar a few minutes with Shane Douglas in the ring before XPW had their event. So we work out a deal. I get the guardrails. And USA Pro Wrestling's having an event that night. So about an hour and a half, 2 hours before the show, myself, Matt Zombie, Timmy Arson, somebody else, I think Brian Damage was there already, we walk across the street to get Kentucky Fried Chicken. And we came back with like 4 giant buckets of chicken. So we're in the Elks Lodge eating chicken, the former ECW stomping grounds. And next thing you know, the SATs, Red, who, you know, obviously is involved still in the Northeast here. The SATs come over. They're hanging out. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, who used to wear our T-shirts to the ring. They're all hanging out. People eating chicken. We're like got the whole quarter in the Elks Lodge. We're hanging out. So Matt Zombie, who did the hotline with me, is like, you know, we got to start getting promos from people to plug our hotline. You know, we got the number one hotline in the nation. Let's get some promos. So that night, we asked the SATs, Timmy Arson. I don't know if Kid Cash was actually out there. I think he was. But we asked a whole bunch of people, hey, you know, could you record a little thing for our hotline? And they're like, yeah. And then a week or two later, we're hanging out with Balls Mahoney. If you remember my infamous story with the was that called where they dive into the crowd? What is it? Mosh pit, whatever. We went to an underground mosh pit event and hanging out with Balls Mahoney. Balls Mahoney is wired beyond belief. And he cut a promo for our hotline and he just went on and on and on and on. And it was hilarious. And I got it here for you tonight. Stage diving, I guess. So anyway, So this night in the Elks Lodge, we're eating chicken. We get the SATs to cut a promo for our hotline. And it ends up they're big fans of the hotline. So we get that. I'm going to share with you in a moment. And then later on in the night, we see the SATs, who were the USA Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champions, they defended and lost the titles to the Briscoes. 17-year-old Jay, 18-year-old Mark. So the same night, they lost the tag titles to the Briscoes. The Briscoes then went ahead and lost the tag titles to the Boogie Knights. Who remembers Danny Drake and Mike Tobin? The Boogie Knights. How's that for an indie flash from the past? So that night, Jay was 18 and Mark was 17. Yeah, that's right. Jay was 18, Mark was 17. But they were 18 and 17 because we were like, holy shit, look how young they are. But the SATs dropped the titles to the Briscoes that night, who then dropped the titles to the Boogie Knights same night. So just talk about a wrestling memory. You know, we go to the Elks Lodge. I work out a deal to pay Frank Goodman for guardrails, give him money, and at the same time eating buckets of chicken with indie wrestlers, and then having some of them cutting wrestling promos, and then that same night we see the SATs and the Briscoes go at it. I mean, how awesome is that? And at that time, honestly, any of you know a wrestler by the name of Deranged? I mean, I think a lot of you probably know him because of his previous, I don't want to say friendship. Maybe friendship is the right way to put it, with Teddy Hart, Deranged. I actually had the privilege of working a couple of shows with Deranged, and Deranged knows who I am. And when I saw the Briscoes in 2002, they remind me of Deranged, if you know who that is. They had the same physique. If you look at, I mean, no hair. No hair. They actually had Briscoe on their tights, and they did a lot of high-flying moves, man. You would have thought the Briscoes would have fit in with the SATs, you know, Deranged, and all the high flyers. Reefer, Sonjay, you know, Low-Key, Homicide even, to an extent, even though Homicide was more of a brawler. But that was my earliest experience with the Briscoes. So just for nostalgic purposes, I'm going to give you two little audio flashbacks to 2002. The night that we first ever saw the Briscoes in person, and we got to see that. I don't know, that might have been their first ever tag team championship too, believe it or not. But the same night that we saw the Briscoes for the first time in person, 17 and 18 years old, we get, you know, hanging out with all the indie guys, and we get them to cut promos. And for any of you that go back with me to Hotline days, here's a flash blast from the past. This was the intro that I put together for the Hotline. And I know the audio quality is shit, but understand that hotlines, you called the telephone. We didn't do it online until, 2003? But here's our old intro. Check out the SAT's reaction at the end of it. You will love it. I promise you will love it. We had so much nostalgic conversation yesterday. Not the STs. I wasn't on the phone with them, but we were talking about them and the Briscoes. But here's a little blast from the past. 2002.
This is Red, the SAT, Amazing Red. You're listening to Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. They give you the best news and expect the unexpected.
This is Joel from the SAT.
Yo, you hardcore wrestling fun. Paul Mahoney.
This is Big Gone.
What's up, Deathmatic?
This is Rob Van Dam.
Yo, you listen to the Blackhearts. This is Kid Cash. Listen to the shit.
I'm the arsonist, Tim Arson.
This is the only King of the Deathmatch Supreme.
This is Quiet Storm, and you listen to the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline, where you get your all the news you could use, and it's home of the Blackhearts, brother.
This is Jose Maximo from the SAT, and you're listening to Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. And log on to wrestling-news.com.
I heard about you guys.
Yes.
You got a hotline number.
That's a
3-something.
30344.
You are listening to the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Wrestling Hotline.
Man, that's awesome, man. That brings back memories, man. 2002. I'm fucking old, everybody. I'm old. So, yeah, I don't think I'll ever give this up until I drop dead. I got to be the longest person of something, right? So, yeah. And for all of you out there, you want a little funny thing. The Balls Mahoney little clip, that was just a couple of seconds. You want to hear the whole intro of Balls Mahoney? Just all he's supposed to say is, this is Balls Mahoney. You're checking out the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline. Listen to what he does. This is pretty funny. Listen to this.
Yo, you hardcore wrestling fucks. This is Balls Mahoney, and you're listening to the Blackhearts on this wrestling hotline, and you better pay attention. You guys know what they're talking about. You guys always take care of me. They always tell you the truth. They're not going to fucking lie to you. I want everybody to keep your ass out. August 17th at Deer Park, Long Island. Come see the freeway dance with me, Torino, and Gangrel. August 30th, get your ass down, squad. See me and Kevin Sullivan. Get down and get busy hardcore style with Madhouse of Extreme, and get your ass in Extreme.
All right. So there's a little nostalgia. So rest in peace, Jay Briscoe. Totally, totally tragic. Really, really a shame, man. Really a shame. Props to WWE for mentioning his passing on NXT. Yesterday, Vic Joseph mentioned it. Props to WWE and NXT for not going ahead with a little storyline segment that was supposed to happen yesterday. You know, if you know, there's still like a secondary feud with Pretty Deadly and The New Day. And yesterday, The New Day was supposed to do a funeral segment to mourn Pretty Deadly not getting a title shot. They lost to Gallus last week. They were going to do a funeral segment for their title shot, but because of Jay Briscoe's passing, WWE and NXT decided not appropriate. So just a little tidbit if you didn't know. Now I want to segue to something else, if you don't mind. Amari Miller. And if you are a fan of hers, you probably already know about this. If you don't, you know, maybe you send some thoughts her way. Maybe a nice message or something. In a moment, I'm not going to write this on social media. I mean, I wrote something early, but I didn't say why. But I'm going to need probably somebody's help if we're going to do this. I'll explain why. All right, Amari Miller, she wrestles in NXT. She went on TikTok yesterday. And I'm not going to play the video. I'm only going to show you a screenshot. But in the TikTok video, she reveals that last week she tried to take her life. It's a really, really powerful, sad, heartbreaking video. She wrote on social media yesterday that everything is not what it seems. Mental health is hard. We should all speak out, even though we know it's hard. You are loved. Fight through it with me, please. I show this not for sympathy, but to relate and know that you are not alone, and I am here for everyone and anyone that needs an ear to listen. And then she wrote, hashtag blessed, hashtag push through. She tried to take her life last week. Awful. Absolutely awful. You know, the first words say it all. Everything is not what it seems. We just had that conversation Sunday. You know, sometimes when you see some people on social media being a little bit overdramatic, always acting like they're a superhero, and you know, understand that social media might be the biggest and most important part of their life. I know that may sound crazy to some of you out there, but for some people out there, having that interaction, feeling wanted, acknowledged, you know, getting those hits, the likes, you know, writing things that most of the time are totally unsubstantiated, that feeling, you know, and some people obviously take advantage and do it for nefarious reasons, but there are people out there that are really, really struggling with depression, loneliness, bad relationships. You know, I've talked about it the last couple of years that I found something really, really weird. You've heard me beat this to the death in the past that, you know, there's certain people out there that for some reason you post something good happens to you and they're almost angry at you. It's almost like if I can't have that, you should not have that either. You know, if I can't celebrate that, then I'm not going to celebrate yours. And it's just a really weird situation. But the problem is there are so many people online who are smiling. They may post smiles. They may put emoji smiles. But deep down inside, they are hurting. And they are hurting really, really bad. You know, I always talked about Axel Rotten, God rest his soul. And I know some of you have heard this before. But Axel Rotten used to come on the Mass Maniac show multiple times. Thank God I still have a lot of that audio. But so many times he would come on the show to proclaim an announcement that he is now clean. And he's happy. And he's this and he's that. And the first time we heard it, we were like, oh, that's awesome. That's cool. Good for you. But then when you heard it the second time and the third time and the fourth time, you start saying to yourself, okay, you know, this person either is trying to challenge themselves, hey, I put it out there, now I got to back it up. Or, you know, just that feeling of people saying, oh, we love you, we're praying for you, we're caring for you, we're rooting for you, keep fighting, be strong. That might be all they got. Now, obviously, Axel Rotten didn't take his life intentionally. Let's make that clear. But the thing is that, you know, you never know, man. You never know. You know, I will never forget the actor. I mean, I don't remember his name. I don't want to know his name. Don't post his name. But I'll never forget the actor. And you could post his name if you want. I mean, but some of you may want to know. There was an actor probably about 10, 15 years ago. Young guy, up-and-coming Hollywood star. And he had to put his dog to sleep. And I'm sure someone out there already knows who I'm talking about. I don't remember his name. He put his dog to sleep. And he mentioned on social media at the time, I don't know if it was MySpace or maybe early days of Facebook, but he posted he had to put his dog down. Months later, so devastated for losing his dog, he took his life. He took his own life. I have said it many times in the past, me putting my dog down is the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. And I am taunted to this day. I mean, I have talked about it enough here where I don't break down and cry anymore. And that's why I have talked about it on these shows, because it is therapeutic for me as well. But I can't tell you how awful it is to be this close to my dog. I mean, you look at the outro for the Goodfellas theme. If you look at this outro, I'm going to throw it on the screen. Just look at the outro for a second.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster.
Just look at the center.
For me to live any other way was nuts.
That's my dog.
To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks.
That's my dog. I had to pay a tribute to my dog, put him in the outro. I am still haunted to this day. I can't tell you how many times I go to sleep, and in my dreams, my dog pops up. And he's wagging his tail, and he's happy, and it feels so real. I wake up crying, and my wife says to me, what are you crying for? No, I got allergies. I got to go take a Zyrtec. I have allergies. There's dust in the room. You know, what the fuck with your powdered deodorant? But I can't control it, and it happens to me till to this day. I put my dog down 7 years ago, 8 years ago, it taunts me to this day. Have I ever thought about ending it all? No. But trust me, I know how it feels to really get sad and depressed. Now imagine what some people are going through. You look at Amari Miller. She's a future star. We don't know where the ceiling is. She's still got a lot to learn. You look at her, and she's got a lot more opportunity than a lot of others out there. She's got good job, good friends. You know, from what I understand, nice family. You know, and still almost took her life last week. So that's why I say you see this tragic death of Jay Briscoe, and you hear about Amari Miller, you know, trying to take her life last week. I know it's so cliche to say it, but, you know, oh, we need to be better, we need to do this, because that's what you're reading the last 24 hours. How you prove it is a month from now when people aren't talking about Jay Briscoe anymore. 2 months from now when Amari Miller is stronger and we don't think about that anymore. You know, we don't need a tragedy for people to come together. And that's the thing that pisses me off about the net more than anything else. I hate that when a tragedy occurs, that's when everybody wants a kumbaya and a hug. And look, when you go to a funeral and you lose a family member or a friend, you all hug each other because you're trying to console each other. You want to try to make that person feel better. And that's genuine. But it shouldn't take a tragedy to always try to be nicer to people. And unfortunately, my friends, there ain't nothing that I'm going to say tonight that's going to change anybody out there. You got to change yourself. And a lot of you out there, you don't need my advice. But, you know, again, you know, you see things like this, it puts in perspective. You see even here, Terry Funk with Mick Foley. I mean, you look at that and I say to myself, my God, you know, the greatest wrestler of all time. He looks old. He looks frail. He looks, you know, that's not what I want to see. You know, so hopefully coming out of this, you know, maybe that vibe continues a little bit further. So that's really all I needed to say tonight. So, you know, okay, a few people are asking, okay, what was I going to say earlier? All right, like I said, I'm not writing this publicly. It's the reason why, but here's the deal. I appreciate everybody on social media who DM'd me earlier, but yes, I could do Google searches, and I've tried all the numbers. If anyone out there has a legit number for the Performance Center, not a voicemail of an individual person, but an actual phone number for the building, all right? I wasn't going to make this public. Some of you already know what I was trying to do, but now, you know, I posted on Twitter. No one's been able to give me the number for the main building. When I went on my honeymoon in the middle of September, you know, I went to NXT for a little while. I went for about half of the show and then I left. And I met a whole bunch of people there. And if you remember that night, I talked about, you know, I met some people that were close to Quincy Elliott and a few others. We saw Solo Sikoa show up, make a surprise appearance, win the North American Championship, just to forfeit it the following week. But, you know, I met, you know, friends of some of the other wrestlers that were there. Amari Miller, Katana Chance, and a few others. Everybody's super and super nice. So, you know, a few people I was talking to 2 days ago, you know, we were talking about some wrestling and stuff like that. Actually, yesterday, so today's still Wednesday. But yesterday, during the day, they were like, hey, let's send some flowers for Amari Miller. Send flowers, maybe some chocolate, you know, a couple of, you know, just things just to, you know, send her, like, people are thinking about her. So I tried ordering it today. I tried the local florist in Orlando, right where they're located. I tried the generic 1-800-Flowers and that. And the thing is they want a phone number for the location. And I put in my own phone number. And, you know, then I'm thinking, you know, if they try to call a number and I answer it, you know, like, I'm not the building. And I'm assuming that you can't just walk in the building. So if anybody happens to have, and please, if you don't have one and you don't know anyone that has one, don't Google it. Because I had so many people, I know your intentions were well. I had so many people like, hey, here's the number. Hey, check out this number. Hey, I got two numbers for you. And I'm like, yeah, I do Google as well. Even, check this out, even WWE's Connecticut corporate office doesn't have an active number right now. No bullshit. Their 203 number. Now think about this. This is a multi-billion dollar company. You call their corporate headquarters. And I know what some of you are going to say. Well, they're moving to the other building. Yes, they are. When I went to Mohegan Sun not too long ago, we actually saw the new building. We drove past it. It's pretty smaller. It's definitely smaller. But their corporate office doesn't even have the phone number active right now. You know, they got, I mean, really, they don't have anybody in the building, but you would think that the phone would go to a voicemail. Just agreeing, like, you know, you're reaching World Wrestling Entertainment. Leave a message after the tone, or if you know your party's extension, press 3 now. Even that number's not working. So, like, I wanted to just call the main office and say, look, we want to send this. You know, it's perishable. I don't know if she is going to be at the Performance Center anytime soon, but I wanted to send a little. I'm just sending it from all of us. You know, I'm not putting no website around. I'm just putting it from all of us. Like, just like, you know, there's a lot of people in the wrestling world that's thinking about her. So if anybody happens to have a number, a legit number, email me, dontony@dontony.com, or DM me on Twitter. You know, don't post it publicly. And I would be very much appreciative. I will tell you this. Tomorrow's Thursday. And if I order it Thursday, it's going to be delivered Friday. And the problem is the weekend is coming up, especially if you're going to send flowers. You know, even if she was able to go there or she's there next week to get it, I don't want them sitting in a performance center for 3 days. So if I don't have a valid number by Sunday night, either Sunday night or Monday morning, I'm going to order it online and I'm going to put my fucking phone number as the phone number for that place. And if they call me up and say, hey, we're here with the delivery, I'm just going to say, all right, knock on the door. You know, I want it delivered for Tuesday since I know NXT is open on Tuesday. If it gets to her, fine. If it doesn't, then let all the women enjoy it. So, all right. I didn't want to contact individual wrestlers, Harris. I didn't want to contact it. I don't want to turn into a big thing. I just wanted to send something like, hey, there's a bunch of people out there that are just thinking about you. So that's why I'm not even writing it in a synopsis. I don't want anybody to think, oh, look, he's trying to get. No, I didn't even want to make this public. So, all right, let's start bringing this home. Let's talk briefly about AEW and NXT, and we'll get out of here. Earlier tonight, this was your AEW lineup. Many of the matches, very predictable outcomes. Darby Allin defeating Kushida to retain the TNT Championship. Blows me away that Wardlow gets his hair cut and 2-3 weeks later, he has just flat out disappeared. I think that is an awful storyline. Hobbs, it's ridiculous that they're in Cali last week and the best they could do is put him on Rampage for another promo. But I tell you, Darby Allin reminded a lot of people tonight that son of a bitch could wrestle. You know, he's not just this stunt guy and, you know, and he can actually wrestle. And he had a great match with Kushida. Nice to see Kushida. I mean, let's remember that he was in Impact Wrestling. So I you know, if you want to see him bad enough, there are ways to see him on TV. I hope that he does get a rematch. It was nice to see Kushida. I think he would actually fit in quite well with AEW. In fact, I think Takeshka. By the way, I left it inside. I actually checked the Japanese interpretation of, you know, MJF is an asshole, and it is not what Konosuke Takeshka. See, I'm trying to say his name right. I always say Konosuke Takeshita. Or early on, I used to say Takeshita. But now I want to say his name the right way. Konosuke Takeshka. I think Kushida and Takeshka, I think they'd be an awesome tag team. Problem is, I don't know if AEW would give him a legit push. Ricky Starks beating Jake Hager, pretty much expected. Now, a couple of things that happened tonight that do lead into Rampage and next week's Dynamite. After Hager lost, Jericho, frustrated, he arranged a tag team match for next week. It's going to be Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho versus Action Andretti and Ricky Starks on Dynamite next week. Daniel Garcia, for some reason, wants a big piece of that as well. Daniel Garcia wants to take on Andretti and Starks next week. So Sammy Guevara tells, now, yes, predictable if you think about it. Sammy Guevara tells Daniel Garcia, if you beat Action Andretti Friday on Rampage, then you could have my spot next week. So on Rampage Friday, we have Daniel Garcia versus Action Andretti. Gee, I wonder who's going to win that match. You know, because, you know, you announce Sammy Guevara. I mean, Sammy Guevara is going to wrestle next week. And by the way, Sammy got Daniel Garcia some funky looking tights. So I guess they're trying to rehash that storyline again. Bryan Danielson over Bandido. Phenomenal match. I hope Bryan Danielson. You know what? Give me Bryan Danielson versus Bandido versus Takeshka. I got to get used to saying his name right away. You know what's funny? I have to say his first name in order to say his second name right. Konosuke Takeshka. For some reason, if I don't say his first name first, then I kind of like blend the two. Koneska. Soon it's going to be, give me some Fresca. But give me Takeshka, Danielson, and Bandido is a three-way for the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. That's what I would do. Hangman Page interviewed by Renee Paquette, which was interesting because Renee is the wife of John Moxley, who had a match with Hangman Page, and there's been some major friction. So Renee looking a little out of place, Hangman Page looking a little out of place. Hangman Page is about to tell Renee, hey, you know, tell your husband, I hope he's okay. But he pauses, and he doesn't say it, but he said it even though he didn't say it, if you know what I mean. And I know you all can't see me right now. That's okay. I'm not doing anything nasty, trust me. I'm just keeping the matches on the screen so you could see them. But the interesting thing about it, was a little something that Hangman Page said. He's got to mend some fences. So you could see they're now going to have Hangman Page interact again with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. So expect that to go down, and we should see that in the very near future. Orange Cassidy over Jay Lethal. There was a lot of comedy with this one. We first had Satnam Singh and Sonjay Dutt and Jeff Jarrett. They claim to have front row tickets. Danhausen shows up wearing like a seat clerk shirt, and he tells them that they don't have the right ticket, so Best Friends apparently had the seats instead. So it was a lot of comedy, father. I mean, the match was, you know, it was a gaga match. Honestly, that is like a quintessential indie wrestling match, what you saw tonight. The storyline with this one is that Sonjay Dutt is afraid of getting fired for interfering and attacking people after the match. Because once the match ended, Satnam Singh wanted to choke out Best Friends, chokeslam them, and Sonjay stops him. Jeff Jarrett wants to smash a guitar. Sonjay stops him. So they kind of play in on that as well. The Young Bucks losing tonight to Top Flight. If you follow the Briscoes work in the past, you know that they performed the Doomsday Device, and the Young Bucks paying a little tribute. Besides the wrestling move, but also wearing the armband, numerous wrestlers tonight wore an armband to pay tribute to Jay Briscoe. And, you know, the big news coming out of that is the Young Bucks lost. Nice to see someone who is really high in the food chain given a rub. I just wish the commentators wouldn't have focused on the shock value of it. You know, I mean, I know it's an upset, but they really, I mean, you do it too much and you make it sound like these wrestlers are have no business taking on the Young Bucks. And I do think this is going to lead to Top Flight versus the Acclaimed. I definitely see that happening. Something else that I found very, very interesting. Saraya and Toni Storm, I guess you could say, turning heel tonight. Now, why do I think that happened? I'll tell you why. Saraya obviously is still far away from being a full-time wrestler. I don't even know if she'll ever be a full-time wrestler again. But, look, taking baby steps, good. Good. Her injury was so severe. Take as much time as you need. You know, we don't need to see her. I think she'll wrestle more than once a month. I think that may actually happen sooner than we think. But the thing is this. AEW's got a big problem right now. And if you really think about it, you'll agree with what I'm about to say. A lot of their really talented wrestlers are baby faces. Jamie Hayter is the exception, but Jamie Hayter, I don't think, should be anywhere near Saraya as a one-on-one match anytime soon. It's not that they wouldn't have a great match, but I think Jamie Hayter's style might be a little bit too much for Saraya right now. So I personally think, look, Britt Baker, Saraya, that was a feud. They did have the tag match. I mean, let's not, you know, deny, but if you notice, Saraya was mostly Britt Baker, not too much with Jamie Hayter. They definitely should not have Saraya feuding with Jamie Hayter. Plus, they don't want Saraya near the women's championship picture right now because she can't wrestle on a more regular basis just yet. So the problem is the majority of really good wrestlers in AEW are baby faces. If you really, I'm not saying that they don't have any heels that can't wrestle, but a large portion of the really talented wrestlers, the ones who could carry a match, and I'm not saying that Saraya cannot carry a match, but Saraya, you obviously have to be a little bit more careful with. You definitely want her to be around very experienced wrestlers. And the problem is, a lot of their more experienced wrestlers are baby faces. And there's only so many times you're not going to put her with Ty Mello. You're not going to put her with Anna Jay. You're not going to put her with, what are you going to do, have a feud with Sky Blue? Madison Rayne would be a fun one match, but Madison Rayne's a baby face. So the problem with Saraya is, okay, she had the feud with Britt Baker. Now what? Now what? So tonight, we had Saraya in the back with Kyle Shida and Tony Storm. And it's Saraya, Tony Storm, Kyle Shida. And Saraya and Tony Storm are kind of having a conversation. Now, they're not happy with what happened last week with Kyle Shida with the Singapore Cane. But hey, shit happens. But it was interesting because here's Tony Storm and Saraya talking about, you know, throwing a lot of shade on the AEW originals, the girls, the AEW original girls. And they're throwing shade against all of the originals. And Sheeta's one of them. So Sheeta's right behind Tony Storm. And once again, with the over-the-top, like. So Sheeta looks concerned. But Saraya and Tony Storm are being uber nasty. And then Saraya says, I want you to stay in the back today. But she said it so nasty that I said to myself, who's the baby face here and who's the heel? So Tony Storm has a match with Willow Nightingale. And let me say this also. Willow Nightingale is a fine opponent for Tony Storm. But with all due respect, you just had Saraya and Tony Storm trashing the AEW girls, the homegrown AEW girls. Why would you not have Tony Storm face a homegrown AEW girl tonight on Dynamite? Why would you put her up against Willow Nightingale? Why? Because they want Tony Storm and Saraya to feud with Ruby Soho and Willow Nightingale next. And neither one of them are an AEW original. So they have a storyline in mind. They don't have the people to fill the roles. So they want Ruby and Willow to feud with Tony Storm and Saraya. The problem is, oh, they're all baby faces. So now Sheeta, it looks like she's going to end up being the baby face out of all of this. So Willow Nightingale, who is not an AEW original, she loses to Toni Storm tonight, and after the match is over, Saraya and Toni Storm are attacking her. So Ruby makes the save, and Saraya gets out of Dodge, and Saraya and Toni Storm pretty much playing full-blown heels now. Are you confused like I am? I mean, it's not confusing, but you say to yourself, like, you're doing this whole AEW original thing just for Hikaru Shida? Like, Toni Storm should have been beating down an AEW. Could have been Sky Blue. Sky Blue hasn't been there, you know, all the time, but you probably throw her in there today. Maybe they just felt there wasn't a strong enough opponent for Dynamite. But I did find it interesting. They're dissing the AEW originals, and now they get a feud with two women who are not AEW originals. Go figure, right? All right. We also had a little segment that's going to lead to a lot of comedy. The Gun Club, the Acclaimed, Billy Gunn. A little bit forced, I think we all agree. Suddenly, Billy Gunn is not happy with the Acclaimed. Your champions act like it. Well, you know, with all due respect, every time they cut a promo and they're doing Scissor Me stuff and all that, I mean, but, you know, Billy Gunn suddenly on the rag. You know, he's like, he's mad at the Gun, at his sons. You know, he's mad at them. He's mad at the Acclaimed. And now we're going to get family therapy. Again, it's like what we just talked about with Saraya and Toni Storm. The storyline sounds great. The problem is, how do you get to point A and point B and have it make sense? Suddenly, Billy Gunn is that upset with the Acclaimed. It just feels random. Very, very random. So, what else? That was pretty much Dynamite tonight. AEW showed a graphic of Jay Briscoe at the beginning of the show. Numerous wrestlers paying tribute with their armbands. A couple of moves paying tribute to the Briscoes. Excalibur mentioning Jay Briscoe at the close of the show. And tonight they did a little bit of a tribute show. Some people were brought in that were from Ring of Honor. You know, that was recorded. And I'll tell you the truth. I'm not saying that the next pay-per-view, you know, should be this, but how's about doing a benefit show for the family? I mean, you know, their breadwinner, for the most part, is now deceased. Their two kids, two of their three kids, are in the hospital in critical condition. You know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, that the other person had, I'm guessing that the other person had auto insurance. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a major lawsuit, but you don't know what the other person's insurance was. You don't know if she owned a house. You don't know if she had an umbrella policy. So, you know, what happens if the Pew family sues, you know, the estate of the other person, you know, for causing the accident, causing the injuries, and causing, I mean, that's millions that should be awarded. And the thing is, what if the other person had statutory limits, you know, in Delaware? You know, what if she only had 25,000 liability, 50,000 liability? You know, if she doesn't own a house, what are you going to get? So, you know, and believe me, I would be shocked to shit that a lawyer is going to try to sue the state of Delaware saying that there was unsafe road conditions or unsafe this. I mean, you know, I doubt that's going to happen. So I think a benefit show for the Pugh family, I think that that's in order. And I think, you know, Tony Khan should spearhead it. I think that there's enough wrestlers out there, and who knows? We've had this conversation a few times in the last 6 months. You know, we've always said, you think now with Triple H at the helm, we might see, you know, a little interaction. I said, what did I say? Maybe a benefit show. We brought up the Brian Pillman Memorial Show. We talked about the referee who passed away, WCW. Oh, Brian Hildebrand, that memorial show. You know, you had wrestlers from WCW, WWF, ECW, you know, at least for the Brian Pillman Memorial. So maybe you do a benefit show and maybe WWE would send a couple of wrestlers. Maybe you just have WWE wrestlers wrestle WWE wrestlers. I think that's a possibility. So I'm just throwing it out there, you know, and believe me, I'm not saying anything revolutionary. I guarantee there's a boatload of you out there tuning in right now that have said the same thing. So, all right. Two more things and we're going to get out of here. I want to talk, well, three things. I want to talk NXT, Little Vengeance Day, and some very interesting comments that William Regal said on a podcast. Got to credit Fightful for the transcript. But something he said about AEW that I find very, very interesting. And I think it gives a little bit more insight as to why William Regal left. Nothing negative, but something I think you'll find very, very interesting. First off, NXT yesterday. And listen, let's be honest. A lot of people were not in the NXT frame of mind yesterday because of what happened with Jay Briscoe. And I was instant messaging on the phone with some people I haven't talked to in 10, 15 years. You know what's weird? So many people online the last month had no idea that I was the Funker, Anthony the Funker, from the wrestling hotlines from the 90s and the 2000s. There's been at least, I would say, about 40 to 50 people. It may not sound like a lot of people, but when you only get like one or two a year that do that, and now you got 40 to 50 in the last month, saying like, wait a minute, because I posted the Black Hearts thing. I now added Funker back to my profile. And people are like, wait a minute, you're him? I'm like, yeah, because nobody ever saw us back then, other than locals when we went to indie wrestling events. So NXT yesterday, the match results, which I will pull up for you in a second. I'm pretty sure I have them. I know I have them. I may not have them. That's okay. I'll pull them up right here. Here they are. Okay, at a second page. All right. Match results from NXT, and then we got the updated lineup for Vengeance Day, and then we'll talk William Regal. Apollo Crews and Axiom over Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Sol Ruka with a very surprising win over Alba Fire. Loved her finisher. Check out that match. Very, very surprising. And look, I know a lot of you are actually very high on Sol Ruka. I hope they give her a little momentum right now. I mean, she reminds me of early Charlotte Flair. I don't know if anybody feels the same way. She reminds me of early Charlotte Flair when she first went to NXT. Just the size, the look, the way she works in the ring. We had Gallus over Briggs and Jensen. Thea Hale over Valentina Feroz. Tyler Bate returns, defeating Javier Bernal. Roxanne Perez and Lyra Valkyria over Toxic Attraction. Thank God that Gigi Dolan's ankle is doing well, and apparently there's no real injury there. Most of you don't regret us mentioning it last week because of the photo that I posted when we were wishing a little bit of concern for Gigi Dolan. But they are now going to start teasing, you know, them fighting each other, which was sausage that we talked about a month ago. Remember, will we see a toxic split? So now they have to start going against each other because at Vengeance Day, they're going to be part of a three-way. So let's take this logo away. Roxanne Perez will be defending the NXT Women's Championship against both Gigi Dolan and JC Jane. And yes, the two women will battle it out. NXT, WWE is very, very high on Gigi Dolan. I think JC Jane could, they're two totally different women. But I'm telling you, I am a big fan of Gigi Dolan. JC Jane took a long time to grow on me. But now I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I see star. In fact, I think she would have fit in perfectly with Tony D'Angelo's group. I mean, I know we don't have Two Dimes anymore. We don't even have him on Dynamite. And by the way, another week, everyone. The Redeemer. He redeemed another week. He redeemed another week. It's unbelievable, man. But I think JC Jane would be great as like one of those Italian Guidettes. Holy shit, I think that would work. By the way, we had a little segment yesterday with Stax and Tony D'Angelo. They were on the bridge, and we thought that Stax was going to be whacked. And he was not. Stax was not attacked. He was not whacked. But instead, he was sort of promoted. If you promote someone, you usually need to. It should have been around a whole bunch of people, in my opinion. I mean, you know, you watched Goodfellas. You watched mob shows. You hear the stories. You get promoted. You talk about the family. You actually should see the family. You know, get 5-6 Italian indie guys. You throw fucking wife beater shirts. It costs $1.99 on Amazon. You get the cheap ones. And you fucking just, you know, slick back their hair. You know, have a little bit of 5 o'clock shadow. It's not hard. Shit. You give me 5 minutes and I'll look like one of them. So we have Toxic Attraction versus Roxanne Perez at Vengeance Day. We also have Bron Breakker versus Grayson Waller. I think Carmelo Hayes is your champion by WrestleMania weekend. Bron Breakker, I think, is going to debut probably on SmackDown. I feel like he would be a better fit on SmackDown than Raw. Bron Breakker, unfortunately, and when the ratings come out tomorrow, I've seen some early numbers. I got to look at the quarter hours, but Bron Breakker is not pulling in ratings. His quarter hours are dropping, and they are dropping significantly. Chaos, he thinks that Bron goes heel? It would be interesting. I think if Bron goes to the main roster, you know, you want that crowd to go, woo, 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 woo. Bron's got to be a babyface on the main roster. But I think Carmelo Hayes is your next NXT champion. Grayson Waller, I think, is ready for the main roster as well. I hope they put some of those guys in the Royal Rumble. They should. The fact that they get dark matches every Raw and sometimes SmackDown, you know, the fact that NXT is mentioned on their main product quite a bit, I think they deserve to have a couple of spots in the Royal Rumble. I think some people have earned that. But I don't think Grayson Waller has a chance of winning that championship. A new match that was added for the NXT tag titles is going to be New Day defending against Gallus and Pretty Deadly in a three-way. So we're not doing predictions now. This ain't happening for 2 more weeks, everyone. But I'm just giving you the updated lineup and another match. And this may end up being a title change. Dijak taking on Wes Lee, challenging Wes Lee for the NXT North American Championship. So, you know, not a bad 4 matches. Not a bad 4 matches. And that is a premium live event, by the way. All right, before we get out of here, I want to just briefly mention Mr. William Regal. And by the way, I want to thank Maddie for a nice little suggestion with the shows. He's like, DT, when you talk about topics, always keep a little logo in the corner. Because this way, when people skim through, they see the logo, you know you're talking about the topic. That's almost as good as a timestamp. I love your input, everybody out there. And I do see a couple of super chats came in, so I will definitely mention them at the end of the show. And they all are directed to Jay Briscoe. William Regal did a podcast a couple of weeks ago. The name of the podcast is the Distraction Pieces Podcast. Say that fast 10 times. I don't know where some people get these names. And I'm not criticizing it. Like, you know, for me, I think, you know, all the names that I've come up with in the past, especially in my hotline days, were awful. You know, we were talking earlier about the Blackheart Sports Entertainment Hotline that we used to have. At some point, I know some of you know this, right? No bullshit, everyone. If you think I'm making it up, go on Wayback Machine, type in wrestling-news.com, and just scroll through the year 2000. Check out my website. Check out the section that plugs my hotline. In the year 2000, I called my hotline the G-Spot. And the catchphrase was, when it comes to reporting accurate news, I hit the G-Spot every time. Yes. Yeah. That's how horrible that was. I never had shirts, though. Never had shirts. But props to them for an interesting name, the Distraction Pieces Podcast. They talked to William Regal, Fightful, with a little bit of a transcript. And William Regal talked a little bit about AEW. He did mention, like, when he went back to WWE, it was almost wacky, like it's as if he had never left. And he also talks about, you know, that, look, time flies like this. And he says, check this out. This might be, some people will interpret it as a shot to the AEW locker room, even though I don't think it's intended that way. William Regal says, and I quote, "Anybody that's listening that is young, I know you don't like listening to older people. Make the most of every second you have on this earth. It really is. You get to a certain age, time goes by so quickly, and we waste a lot of it. Sometimes you think I'm going to make the most of it. Even if you try to make the most of it, you end up not making the most of it." So, you know, nice little inspirational advice. But he talks about leaving AEW. And I'll read you what he said. But to summarize it, when he went to AEW, he went there to work behind the scenes and help the roster. And the next thing you know, he became an on-air character. And you interpret what he says here. Sounds like maybe he wasn't as excited, but he does bring up a reason why, which I think is very respectable on his part. William Regal says, and I quote, as far as his WWE return, "This will be the last thing that I'm doing. If you're into the wrestling, it was a bit convoluted and finished off the way it finished off. I've been in AEW, but I'm back with the WWE by the time you hear this. I've had people asking me to do things. There's a lot that happened this year and a lot of things that made me go, I'm quite happy not being in the limelight. I have been in the limelight for many years. I've had my time. I had a nice little gig with NXT for a long time where I showed up occasionally. And then in the pandemic, I was used a lot more because we had to go into survival mode. And there were certain characters and it changed certain things a little bit. I said, don't use me as much if you don't mind. It should be about the talent, not me. This interview will be the last interview that I'm doing. Unless WWE asks me to do something as myself, I'm doing nothing else about anything or wrestling for at least a year. I'm happy with that. That was one of the things. Here's where it gets good. That was one of the things in the last months of AEW. It was getting far too much about me. It should have been about the talent I was with, not about me. I'm quite happy being in the background. All it is grief. I've had my run. I couldn't have had a better last few months as far as TV and doing that, but I did not go to AEW with that intention. The intention was to do something different. It started off the way it did, but I didn't expect it to end up being this thing that it was for the last 7 months where I just became talent. He just revealed he just became talent. They weren't taking any of his ideas. Now, say what you will as far as, you know, the people behind the scenes and not, you know, listening to veterans. But, you know, I think that's very, very revealing where he said he just became a talent. He said, I went there with a different plan because I was asked to go there to help. I was asked to go there to help in a different capacity that never transpired. Very, very revealing last couple of sentences. I was asked to go to AEW to help in a different capacity, and that never happened. It never happened. So, very interesting. I don't know if the audio for this podcast, or maybe there was video, I don't know if it's been released yet. But again, give credit to Fightful for that transcript. And thank you for a few of you that brought that to my attention. So, all right, with that said, I want to just give a couple of super shout-outs, if you don't mind, and then I'm going to jet out of here for today. Theme Parks and Things with Johnny, the Briscoes, are his favorite tag team, so this hurts for him in his heart. The best tag team in the world, much love, and rest in peace. Johnny, I know you have talked in the chat room in the past a lot about the Briscoes, and listen, especially over the last 10 years, let's not forget, Jay Briscoe was the Ring of Honor heavyweight champion. He had it for what, 240 days? It's got to be around that. I think it was like 8 months that he was Ring of Honor heavyweight champion. That was, you know, it was on the darker days of Ring of Honor, but that's not his doing. But still, you know, they made him heavyweight champion for a little while. But yeah, there's quite a few of you out there. Look, again, I was never this uber Ring of Honor fan. I rooted for people individually. I've made friendships with a few people over the years, and I always wanted to see them succeed, but I was never, ever a regular Ring of Honor fan. But you do acknowledge and you recognize and you appreciate talent. Sean Ross Sapp interviewed Kofi Kingston today. I don't think the interview is going to be released until next week, but Kofi paid a nice tribute to the Briscoes as a tag team, and he paid tribute to Jay Briscoe as well. And, you know, I don't think they pretty much ever interacted, but, you know, just showing a lot of love and appreciation and acknowledgement, you know, and you also could tell that Kofi's appreciation would have been the same even if Jay was still with us on this earth. You know, sometimes when someone passes away, some people will say some extra niceties that may not even be deserved, but everything that Jay Briscoe is getting right now has been earned and deserved. So I don't think anybody is exaggerating what, you know, how good he was, how successful he was, both professionally and personally. But thank you for the 10 spot, Johnny. I appreciate it. Also sent the 5 spot. He gets what I mean. He lives in California on by the 91 freeway near his hometown in Riverside. When that sun goes down, we could hardly see the lines on the road. My friends, I don't do PSAs on these shows. And I'm not saying this to pander, but I try to talk to all of you out there like friends. Like we're all just hanging out, having a conversation. I know I do most of the talking, but you know, believe me when I tell you, as a defensive driver instructor, as an insurance representative for 24 years, and you know, just seeing everything and everything over the years, Twilight is more dangerous than you can imagine, especially when you're on, you know, a road, you know, like this, where you could see nothing but this for miles, and you're going 50 miles an hour if you're following the speed limit. You know, that's what I think people need to understand. I mean, sure, the go-to is seatbelt. Some people think, oh, texting, drinking. But I'm telling you, man, if it comes back that she had no alcohol in her system, if there's no signs that she was on a mobile phone not paying attention, and even if she was, I'm telling you, I think the Twilight is, you know, look, I'm just giving you an opinion. I'm not reporting that as news. But believe me when I tell you, I'm not exaggerating when I say driving at Twilight is the most dangerous part of the day. And again, I'm not making it up. Sunset was at 5:09. The accident occurred at 5:09. So that should tell you something right there. And no one else put the two together. And listen, you know what the weird part about it is? Do I want to be right on that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I hope I'm right. There's no good answer. But I hope it was Twilight, blinded, and unfortunate accident. I don't want to hear blood alcohol content point something, or you know, there's evidence that she was texting at the time of the crash. I don't want to hear alcohol or mobile phone, because that scares the shit out of me more than anything when I'm on the road. I've said it so many times on these shows, I don't like driving at night, because when I drive at night, especially now, my windows are rolled up in the wintertime and I smell weed in my car. And I'm like, the fuck? My car smells like weed. Sometimes I joke with my wife, we'll be driving on the road and she'll be like, wow, that person's got some good shit. She don't smoke weed, but it's funny how it just in the air. Sometimes I pull in my parking lot and I'm walking to my house and I'm just like breathing in the air. I'm like, wow, you know, somebody's lighting up right now. I smell it everywhere. And that's weed, you know. So I hope it's just an unfortunate accident. But Twilight, I'm telling you, and I guarantee a majority of you out there probably never even thought of that. So, but, Yeah, it's dangerous. You got to be so careful. You know, believe it or not, go on Amazon, get a cheap pair of glasses. Get a cheap pair of glasses, throw it in your glove compartment. I know some of them are ugly and they look like yellow lenses and stuff like that. But you want to know something? I'll tell you something very, very quickly, and then we'll wrap this up. I have a friend of mine who legitimately cannot see well at night. And about a year ago, he was driving on his way home. And how I know is because he has insurance with me. He was driving on his way home. He made a left turn onto a side street. And because the darkness blends in so much with the streets and the houses, and, you know, even though there's some lighting, he didn't see a guy crossing the street. Literally right in front of his face, plowed right into him. Guy got hurt, not severe, but still, my friend got sued. But the thing is, he had to go on Amazon and buy these yellow goggles, and they're for night driving. And what it does is it helps, you know, like contrast. And I think that's probably where the word I should be using tonight. It helps improve the contrast between the darkness and other objects that are around you. And I'm telling you, they're ugly. You're not doing it for style. Nobody's going to see you. But if you're used to like driving at home from work and it's around that time, or you have, you know, a little bit of, you know, concern about driving at dusk, get one of those glasses, keep it in your glove compartment. And if you feel a little uneasy, just throw them on. Believe me, no one's going to be sitting next to you go. Nobody's going to be video putting you on TikTok. So don't worry about it. Liam Savage, thank you for the five spot also. Terrible tragedy, but let's be thankful his family is okay. Well, he's got two daughters in very, very serious condition right now, critical. One is critical but stable. The other one, we have not received an update. But, you know, thank God they're still with us. And they're fighting. And we've gotten amazing matches with FTR. Secondly, what a great way to go wrestling-wise. Yeah, listen, you know, when I was much younger and we had tragedies in wrestling, you know, the worst part about it is, you know, you'd do some tape trading and you'd see some like matches from the 70s and the 80s. Now you get WWE Network and stuff like that. But, you know, when you had wrestlers dying in the 90s, even in the 2000s, you know, you did have some, you know, of their history as far as in the ring. But you go earlier than that, you have wrestlers who died in the 70s and the 80s, or even wrestlers you never saw live but you heard about later on and you wanted to see so much about them and you don't get the opportunity to do so. Be happy that 2023, we're in an age that for the last couple of decades, everything is documented, everything is recorded. You know, maybe some small indie shows, they only survive by someone having a DVD, you know, somewhere in their garage. But for the most part, everything is documented. So even you're going to see, I guarantee you, in the next couple of days, I will bet everything. In the next couple of days, you're going to see a lot of smaller indie groups showing footage of the Briscoes from 2002, 2004, 2005. You know, very, very early in their careers. And listen, they may not be the most polished, gifted wrestlers early in their career, but I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, I don't remember anything as far as the match itself between the SATs and the Briscoes, or even, you know, what happened afterwards. But I do remember that the Briscoes, people were amazed on how polished they were. Polished probably be the right word, how polished they were in 2002, 2003. And you're talking about a 17 and an 18-year-old. You know, they were 20 years doing this. And Mark Briscoe is still doing this. And it's just really, really sad and tragic. Absolutely. And props to all of you out there who have paid a little bit of respects and tribute. And I know a lot of you out there were never fans of the Briscoes. Doesn't mean, as a human being, that this doesn't, you know, pull you at your strings and you just, you know, you want to just celebrate and thank. And you know what? I think coming out of this, I think you will see some new Briscoe fans, some new fans of the Briscoes. You know, I mean, you look at their Ring of Honor career. I mean, they, other than WrestleMania weekends, they didn't perform in front of thousands and thousands. Sometimes, you know, you do something in Japan, you do something here and there, with the exception. But I think coming out of this, I think there's going to be a lot of new fans that have never really watched the Briscoes ever. You know, believe me, you know, not that many people watched the Briscoes versus FTR. You know, quite a few did, but not the overall wrestling community. I think you're going to see a lot of people now saying, you know, let me check out, you know, why were they hyped? You know, like, you know, let me see what it's about. I think, you know, they're going to generate a lot of new fans in his passing. And I think you're going to see their legacy will continue. And, you know, as far as tributes go, and I leave you with this in closing, you know, one thing that I did not want to do tonight is run down all their championships. You know, I didn't want to run down all of their opponents. Those wrestlers, the people that had the privilege to be in the ring with him, work against him, they're the ones that give you the tributes. The people that knew him personally, they're the ones that give you the tributes. I give you my wrestling memory, my earliest memory, but all of those stars, they're the ones that will do him right. And check out all their tributes, because, you know, you're going to come out of this and realize, you know, in death, how much he was loved and appreciated. So, all right, I'm going to jet out of here. We ended up going 2 hours, a little bit longer, but under the circumstances, I was not going to rush our conversation. Sorry for getting a little emotional earlier talking about stuff with my dog. I have talked about it so many times, like as you let it out, you kind of like could, you know, but once in a while it still gets to me, you know, physically. But, yeah, if you have any comments, if you have any specific tributes, any memories of Jay Briscoe or the Briscoes, post it in the comment section. I've been responding to as many comments as I can the last couple of days, but not only that, everybody who check out the comment section will read what you say. So if you have an individual memory that no one knows about, post it, spend 5 minutes, write something. And, I think that would, you know, be pretty cool, you know? So I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. I'm sorry that some of the discussion had to be under these circumstances. But, yeah, I wanted to, you know, be as thorough as I can and, you know, try to hit some points other than your typical generic stuff. And I wanted you to get an idea as far as what the road looked like, where it happened, what could have happened, some of the details, the facts. You know, like I always say, anybody could go on a website and read something. That's not an exclusive. But, you know, you do a little bit more and you start seeing this and seeing this and like, oh, okay, well, this and the Twilight thing just totally, you know, that was the thing we were mostly concerned about. Yes, like, what time did this happen? And then, you know, it led to everything else. But when I get more specific information, I will let you know. Somebody asked earlier if I'm going to get the crash report. I can. I don't know if I need to. I think we put enough out there. The police will update us if we need to know. You know, it's not our right to know everything. You know, if you remember what happened with Brody Lee's passing and some others, you know, if the family wants to be private about it and not want to get into certain specifics, that is their right. We are not obligated to have any specific information. Of course, we want to know. You know, why would somebody so young be taken? I'm saying under different circumstances, but still. If something gets put out there that we're all privy to see, then I'll share it with you. If any BS comes out there, you know we will shoot it down. But all right, I'm out of here. Much love, everyone. And yeah, be well. The Q&A is going to be recorded tomorrow. So everybody that sent questions, I will get into it. Havili a little bit too much, sent in like 10, and we want the whole show to be 10, so we're not going to have the Havili show, but I will condense it into a couple of questions, and we'll carry yours over for the next episode. But everybody who sent in stuff for that show, thank you. I'll record it tomorrow. It'll be up sometime this weekend, but you know, I want this to stay out there for a few days. Saturday, we'll be back. Saturday, we will talk about, you know, the other stuff and the Nick Khan interview and, you know, a couple other things. So it'll be a different show. But everyone, I know it's been an emotional 24 hours, whether you knew the guy personally or you didn't, whether you were a wrestling fan of his and the Briscoes or you weren't. It was still, you know, a very emotional.
And took the subway to work.
Sorry. Oh, shit. I fucked up. I was hitting a button in the background. I hate interrupting like that. But, you know, it's been a rough 24 hours for a lot of you. And celebrate them. You know, smile. You know, show everyone why he was so good in the ring. If you knew him outside the ring, show everyone, for all of us, for the people out there that, you know, have no interest in knowing him, ignore those people. So, Charlie, umbrella policy. You want to know what umbrella policy is? An umbrella policy is when you have house insurance or car insurance and you get a secondary policy in case. Okay, here's an example. Let's say someone has a $300,000 auto policy, but they own a house and they're afraid, God forbid, they ever get sued. They don't want their house taken away. So in addition to a $300,000 auto policy, they go and buy an umbrella policy. An umbrella policy is a secondary policy that only pays after your primary policy pays first. So if you have a $300,000 auto policy or a $300,000 homeowner's policy and you're sued for $500,000 and you lose, your main policy pays the $300,000. Who pays the other $200,000? Your umbrella pays the $200,000. So the trick with an umbrella policy is that an auto insurance carrier or a homeowner's insurance carrier will require you to carry at least $300,000 or $500,000 liability insurance. This way, they cut down the chances of them being sued. That is what an umbrella policy is. Or you could Google it. And, you know, I think I gave everybody a quick crash course on what an umbrella policy is. So, you know. I will tell you this, I've been a broker for 24 years. I have never had a customer have an umbrella policy paid out. I had someone, a client of mine, who got sued because some family bought a jar of chlorine tablets for their pool. And this is bullshit, but I'll tell you the story anyway. The bullshit. The son died. The kid was like 2 years old. And the family sued the business, the customer of mine, and they said that the chlorine tablets were in a plastic bag that you could just tear open. It was not childproof, and that their kid tore the bag open and ate the chlorine. If any of you out there have ever tasted chlorine, the minute it touches your tongue, you are going to spit it out. There is no way, in my opinion, any child took a chlorine pill and said, yummy, yummy. So I think what happened was something tragically went wrong and they had to blame somebody. They didn't win their lawsuit, but, you know, there was concern that, you know, they're going to sue for millions and millions and millions. So, but they didn't win their lawsuit. So it's crazy stuff. This world of insurance is crazy, but in cases like what happened with the auto accident, I could kind of, you know, give you a little bit more insight. So, all right, everybody. I am officially out of here. Good night. Be well. Much love. Jay Briscoe, rest in peace.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.